Morning, family.
Morning.
I'm surely blessed with the gift of recovery and thanking God for a daily reprieve from the disease of addiction. I'd like to thank the Chesapeake Potomac Regional Convention of Narcotics Anonymous Committee for asking me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope on growing spiritually. And we have a moment of silence while I invite the God of my understanding to come on in and take over, because he knows exactly what y'all need. All right. Mike, thank you for sharing. You set it up real good for me. And we are more alike than we are different. And, you know, when you said your clean date, I didn't know until I got in here that the order of the speakers was determined by your clean time. And so you are coming up on 18, and I'm coming up on 19 in July. So thank you for your 18. Growing spiritually. Let's see. You know, it's a journey. It really is. And I really don't know where to start. Somebody asked me when I came in, was I nervous? I'm always nervous when I'm asked to speak, lest I think I got this thing. You know, and I was listening to a speaker last night, and the speaker talked about how God, the God of his understanding, spoke to him and said to him, yeah, you know, you're not all that wonderful. He said, but you are wonderfully made. And I thought about that, and I said, you know what? That's just for me. Because I'm not all that wonderful, but I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I thank God for an opportunity to come and just share a little bit about my own journey into growing spiritually. Because when I started out growing up, you know, I too was like Mike. I was an honor student and wanted to be somebody and do some things. But I also had this wild streak in me. I wanted to walk on the wild side. I wanted to hang out with the people that was having fun, smoking the cigarettes in the bathroom, drinking the Boone's Farm, you know, cutting school and doing all of that. And then I wanted to leave them and get back over here with the eggheads, you know, and make the good grades and whatnot, because I'm basically a very lazy individual. And what I was told from early on was that you need to stay in school as long as you could so that you wouldn't have to do any hard work, because me and Manuel Labor never got along well. So to tell you the truth, I would still be in school today if I could get paid for it. But after a point in time of so much schooling, I had to come on out and join the workforce. And I'm grateful that even along this journey that God, that I didn't have an understanding of in the beginning, still watched over me and took care of me throughout all of my insanity. And so as he allowed me to accumulate some things, you know, the degrees and some stuff and material stuff and government job, husband 1, 2 along the way, you know, somewhere along that journey, I started taking my successes for granted. And it was all about me. It was all because I was so smart. I was so skilled. I was so this, I was so that. And God said, okay, you are that. Let me just step back and let you do your own thing. So when he took his hands off me and just stepped back, the next thing I knew, I found myself in a crack house, smoking day in, 24/7. Never understanding how a nice girl like me ended up like that. But as I look back over my story, I realize that there had been a stalling point in my spiritual growth. You know, and the God that I had known BC, before crap, was the one that was the punishing God. You know, and so PC, post crap, through this program, Narcotics Anonymous, I've been introduced to God. And through that introduction, I've developed a relationship with God. Now, prior, you know, to coming in here, prior to PC, during that BC phase, you know, I did a lot of things that I never thought a nice girl like me would do. Now, I'm sure that those of you who may have ventured down the path of smoking crack or some other minor mood-altering substance might understand without me elaborating on some of those things. But needless to say, along with that, my behavior was outrageous. While I was running around weighing 98 pounds and wearing 3 pairs of pants, so, you know, folks couldn't see how really skinny I was, and that face that Mike made at the end, yep, know it well. Eyes bugging out like super fearless fly or somebody. You know, hair standing up. And as somebody said on when they were sharing about their hair being locked and not intentionally, yep. Today it's intentional? Okay. But, you know, and my mouth, oh my goodness, it was so nasty. As a matter of fact, I thought it was natural. I thought that's how everybody talked, because all the folks that I hung around with spoke that way. And so once I started, though, on the spiritual path on the PC, I was still having that potty mouth. Until one day, a young man said, I can't believe all that filth is coming out of that pretty face. And, you know, I really wanted to be flip and say something back to him. But by this time, I had started working on some things. I had started doing some steps because my sponsor told me that I was too smart for my own good, and so I needed to get to working the steps right away because I'd intellectualized myself right on out of this simple program. And so once he said that, the God of my understanding allowed me to hear myself. And I said, wow, that's awful. You know, the F word was my favorite word because it just expressed every feeling. Happy, sad, angry, whatever. You know, it just depends on the inflection. It would work. But as I started growing spiritually, as I started changing, I no longer wanted to be that person that was DC during crack. Because the program of Narcotics Anonymous says to me, change you must or die you will. Growing spiritual doesn't mean that overnight my mouth instantly got cleaned up. But it means that through a conscious effort that it consistently and continuously got better. And so here almost 19 years later, by the grace of God, it's pretty much gone. But it's like my disease. It's arrested. It's sleeping. And if I hang around folks that's doing that, it'll wake back up. And the next thing I know, it'll be just like that second language. And so growing spiritually for me means that, like the literature says, I had to change my people, places, and things. Because I want to be the best me that I can be. Growing spiritually doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes. You know, some of you know some of the other things that I do outside of this program for another spiritual program. And, you know, I just had to tell you all that God called me to do some things. But when I read my spiritual literature, he called a lot of imperfect folks to do some things. See, because the folks that he has me reaching, other folks can't reach. So, you know, our literature says, judge not, lest you be judged. But the first thing is judge yourself. You know, one thing I learned the hard way was that principle. Because I was off on a tangent, you know, PC feeling all good and everything. And was conversing with a friend of mine, and we were talking about some things, you know, fornication and promiscuity and first one thing and then the other, and didn't I get caught up in the lust aspect. And so what the God of my understanding allowed me to understand was that, listen, you're on a journey. You haven't got to the destination. You're no better than. You're subject to fall just like everybody else. If it wasn't for me, you know where you'd be. And so today, growing spiritually means continuing to give people the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, folks get on my nerves sometimes. Yes, they tick me off. I've even been cussed out in this program. But I thank God for growing spiritually. And I thank God that in growing spiritually, I think about the God of my understanding and how far he's brought me and how the example that I'm supposed to set. So even if an informed member temporarily loses their mind and cusses me out, I can be all right and do like this and turn away and choose to speak to somebody else rather than dishonor the God of my understanding. That's growing spiritually for me. Because in the past, we'd be toe-to-toe. You wouldn't be able to tell who was who. You know, also growing spiritually for me means that I got a committee up here. I don't know if anybody else got folks that talk to them. Oh, so I'm not alone? You know, I still have some defects of character. And the steps tell me that not all of these shortcomings are going to be removed just because I want them to be. Some will go quietly. Others will go kicking and screaming. Some will not go at all. But a couple of these folks that's up there, you know, I got exercise girl. She likes to jump to conclusions. Shirley Locke Holmes. She likes to deduce a whole lot of things, gets it all wrong. And to them came Brat Girl. Brat Girl is spoiled. She wants her way. And she starts seeing things where there is nothing to see. But growing spiritually means that I have folks that I can call and run my thoughts past them. And they say to me, girl, you just being spoiled. And I said, so you trying to tell me I should tell Brat Girl to put her thumb in her mouth and go stand in the corner and don't say nothing. Sit down and be quiet. They say, yeah. Growing spiritually means not doing things my way and understanding that other people have ideas and thoughts and opinions. I'd like to tell you all that, you know, I follow all these spiritual principles, you know, that I'm so spiritual. But those of you who know me, know it ain't so. You know, I'm just like everybody else. I have some good days, I have some bad days, depending on my level of acceptance at that moment. Depending on where I am in my spiritual journey, depending on how much I have absorbed spiritual material and spiritual principles, determines sometimes how I will react to the situation. But growing spiritually allows me to come back and say, listen, I'm sorry. I acted out. I was wrong. I should not have said that. It also allows me to see the part that I play in everything. You know, I like to blame people for some things that, you know, I willingly involve myself in. You know, today I get some real expensive lessons. In the past, you know, I just got the, you know, knocks upside the head lessons. Today, I get them lessons that come out of the pocket. And that, you know what, I don't know. I've just never been able to do anything on a small scale. It got to be big. You know? I understand I have a big God. But my mistakes don't have to be big, but they're always big. And so I made an error in judgment. You know, and you know that voice that speaks to you and says, danger, danger, Will Robinson, danger, danger. And you brush it off. You know, and then you know your stomach is tumbling, and you know you just don't have any peace, and you say, "Oh, I must not be doing it the right way. Let me try it this way." And so you keep on trying, even though God is saying, "No, no, no, don't do that," and then you do it anyway. And then when the deal falls through, you want to blame everybody. And especially the one that you was in the deal with, they fault. But the bottom line is, for real, it's your fault. It was your money. It was your fault. Now, did you learn the lesson this time? Because you will have an opportunity to take this test again. And if you do not learn the lesson this time, you will not pass the test the next time. Growing spiritually, being able to look at who you are, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, the wrinkles, the crepey skin, the bulges, the this, the that, the other, whatever it is, and thanking God for all of it, and realizing that you didn't do anything to deserve the good life that you've been given now. It's only because God loved you and saw something in you to save you so that you can share your experience, strength, and hope with somebody else. And let them know it's all right to make a mistake. As long as you live, you're going to make a mistake. You know when you stop making mistakes? You ain't here no more. You know when you stop developing gray hair, crow's feet, wrinkles, sagginess, other stuff heading south. You know when that happens? You ain't here no more. So I thank God, because the way that I was going, I didn't think I would see gray hair. I didn't think I would see crepey skin. I didn't think I would see grandchildren. But today, God has blessed me with things that really matter. Two beautiful daughters that were with me during my active addiction, who loved me, who respect me. Four beautiful grandchildren that's doing some things. They know that if they ask me to be somewhere at a certain time, they know that day I'm going to be there. They don't have to wonder, is mama going to show up? Well, we better call her, and they call in and ain't nobody answering. They don't have to be concerned that lottie-dottie anybody is coming up in my house. You know, I listened to a young lady share, and she was speaking on relationships, and she spoke about how when the pain of pulling your panties down overshadows the pain of keeping them up, you'll start keeping them up. You know, and so I told you all, you know, I've had three husbands. Well, actually, I told you all about two of them. Thank you. But the total number is three. And the fourth one... God is good. That's all I can say. No, but for real though. For real, y'all. You know, the difference is another aspect of growing spiritually. Because you see, in all of the previous marriages, and I admitted this to somebody the other day, and I was like, ooh. In all the previous marriages, it was always sex before marriage. And in my warped mind, I felt like I had to marry them to justify having sex with them. I told y'all I didn't really have an understanding of God. And so so for this fourth one. None of that. We are in agreement. No sex before marriage. And every time anyone rub, I said, listen, you're not supposed to play with your present before it's time. Stop tampering, trying to tamper with the gift wrapping. You know. And what I told him, I said, listen, I said, you know what? I said, the fastest way to make sure that we will not be married is to seduce me and we have sex. He said, but I better keep my hands off the package. That's the fastest way to guarantee that we will not be married. Because you see, the God of my understanding now easily showed me, you know, every time I did it my way, what it resulted in. Every time I do it his way, stuff is good. It's better than what I could hope for. And I want you ladies, you know, that would like to get married, gentlemen that would like to get married, to understand the difference in this one. I've been on the internet, y'all. Some of y'all might have seen the picture. It's all right. You know, just keeping it real. I've been on the internet. You know, some of myself, some blind dates, some of this or some of that. I don't really do clubs today. But this man came to my house. And he didn't come to my house to see me. He came to my house for some other reason, to see one of my housemates. And so I wasn't paying him any attention because I didn't know what that relationship was. And I was all right, because I'm going to tell you something. You know, once I started really getting into the God of my understanding, good God Almighty, God done took me some places that I never, ever dreamed of. I travel all the time. Ask my sponsors. All the time. You know, going here, going there. Enjoying life. Not waiting for this to happen and that to happen before I do this. I do it. And so when he came and he was talking to my girlfriend, I ignored him. And then he did a nice thing, you know, he repaired my bicycles and everything. And so I was like, okay. And so one day I just asked, I said, listen, what do y'all have going on? And she said, nothing. He's just a friend of mine. I said, okay. I said, well, I think I'm going to invite him over. For dinner with some other friends of mine, you know, just my way of saying thank you. Still, not really, you know, it's all right. So he came on over, you know, and he was early and all that, looking good, smelling good, and all those kind of things that go along with the good. And he came in, and he was sitting at the table, and we were sitting there chatting and laughing and giggling. And the couple that was coming over for dinner, they were newlyweds, and so I said, oh, you know, I think I'd like to get married again one day. He started laughing. I said, what you laughing at? He said, I done been there, done that. I don't want to get married. I said, well, good. I said, because I ain't planning on getting married tomorrow anyway, so you safe. That was in November, y'all. January 29th, he was sitting there on my couch. We had done some things together, gone some places, you know, just having a good time, enjoying being in one another's company. We went out to dinner. We came back. January 29th, we're sitting on my couch, and he looks over there at me and asks me, will you marry me? I started laughing. I said, what? I said, yeah, you know, I'll give you an answer when you're serious. A couple of seconds passed. He looked at me again. He said, I am serious. Will you marry me? Y'all, I lost my natural mind. Yeah! Grinning and laughing and everything. He pulled the ring. I got down on the knees, put it on the finger, and said some things and whatnot. And then a couple of months after that, you know, he was asking about the date. I set a date, and as soon as I set the date, I got nervous. I got scared. Thank you. I'm like, I need to know a little bit more about you. I done read Steve Harvey's book, Straight Talk, No Chaser. I'm going to ask a whole bunch of questions. Because this time, you're going to go blind, people are crazy, but I ain't going nowhere. Growing spiritually, y'all, means not being afraid. And not worrying about being alone. Because you're never alone. As long as you got God, you got it all. God has restored everything that I gave away. Ain't nobody take it. I gave it away. He's restored everything, but the most important thing that he's restored is self-esteem, a sense of purpose, a sense of direction, compassion, and unconditional love. One other thing before I close. A group that I work with, we are now in a school mentoring first, second, third, and fourth grade children. Because statistics show that a lot of the prisons that are being built are based on third grade reading scores. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but when I extrapolate the data and look and see that the majority of folks in the prison is African American, it doesn't take rocket science to know what third grade scores they're looking at. So we and some others have said, if it's to be, it's up to us. And so we're in the schools. None of us have little children, but we're in there standing in the gap like somebody did for me during my BC and DC. Thank you all for the PC. I'm surely blessed with the gift of recovery. Thanks for letting me share.